Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. If you've missed any of Triple M Footy, get the Catch Up podcast, available exclusively on the Triple M app.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M.
It's the weekend, our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live.
Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app.
For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
And it's Sunday, Triple M NRL, right across the Triple M network and via our app. So get the app, get ready for Origin. Sunday Triple M NRL, we will have both Origin coaches on today. Both of them will join us in the course of the afternoon, so stick around for that. So far this round of footy, Storm 24, Tigers 22, Warriors 30, Panthers 10. Six straight losses now for the Panthers. We'll talk more about that. Broncos had a win over the Roosters 15-10. Dogs 22, Titans 16. The Rabbitohs 16 beat the Raiders 12. The Rabbitohs are now the outright competition leaders, and they've lost one game by 1 point. And the Cowboys 17 defeated the Eels 10. We'll have a look at the ladder a little later on. Joining me today for Sunday NRL, we've got the first grade crew back together. Gordon Tallis, welcome to you, my friend.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, it's good to be back. I was up there at Magic Round last week, sort of pounding the pavement, and it was. I thought it was a really great weekend. It was a great success for the game, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Paul Kent.
Pounding the pavement.
Yeah, I mean, I was like
pounding something.
It was cruising down Caxton Street having drinking 4X Gold.
Pounding the pavement.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Well, that's right. You got to do what you got to do. Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Thanks, Anthony. Good to see you here. Good to see you got your lunch in front of you.
Yeah, I'll just keep an eye on that today, right? The old lunch, so nobody can steal it off me. James Triceps Hooper, geez, you love that T-shirt. You've had it on 3 weeks in a row.
Anthony, the Redfern Rocket. Mate, has Miss Portugal had your T-shirt today in the dryer? We'll get a photo of that and put it up on Twitter for all the people.
You like that shirt?
Mate, it's sprayed on. It's outstanding. Yeah. Great T-shirt.
See, it's got serial killer written on it, but it's got a bloke with a bowl of cereal and he's attacking it with a spoon.
It's not a bloke. That's how, just when you think you're cool, you're uncle. It's not a bloke. It's Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, yes, that's right. The old Sharkies fullback from the 1970s.
Yeah, or the guy from Halloween, people might remember.
Well, that's right. I didn't know it was Mike Myers. I just thought it was cool. But you're right. Now I'm going to take it home and throw it in the bin.
Just keep it out of the dryer, mate. It's small enough as it is.
You're such a grandpa.
All right, boys, let's talk a little bit of footy. We've done the scores thanks to Tyre Power. That game last night, Raiders and Souths, was absolutely awesome. And the week started, Hoops, for you, heartbreak on Thursday night with the Tigers. They almost had the Storm in Melbourne.
Yeah, they've been good recently against the Melbourne Storm down there at Amy Park. And just that last 10 minutes of the game, they couldn't quite close it out. I felt as though, from an outside point of view, it looked like they stopped playing a little bit. But it was still a gutsy effort to go down there. And I really like what Michael Maguire is doing with the West Tigers. And I think there's a lot of reason for optimism at the club at the moment.
Yeah. Sadly, though, and not trying to be funny here, Paul, but, you know, you don't get the 2 points. You come close, but you come away without the points.
Yeah, look, I think the weekend has just highlighted once again the quality of the top teams. Canberra were very brave yesterday, and South just in the end, the class showed. And it happened again with Melbourne and the Tigers. The Tigers, like, right at the end there, when it was a, who came out? Mahe Fanua came out of the defensive line for the Tigers?
I don't remember, mate.
No, anyway.
Was it Mbai?
No. We'll get there. But just the way they defended, the way they didn't stay in their systems, right at the end, the pressure got to them.
Yeah, it was Mahe.
He came out of the line. He couldn't make the tackle stick on Bromwich. And then suddenly they scored. It showed where the Tigers were, that they're still a team in progress as far as their education. Michael Maguire would no doubt be very happy with their effort and a lot of the parts of that game the other night, but the other part would he be saying to himself, well, this is what we're still going to learn.
Yeah, and the other one that stood out yesterday, Gordy, I thought of you straight away, old mate, the poor old Gold Coast Titans. I mean, Ash Taylor, he is really not finding where he needs to be in a lot of ways at the moment. And the poor old Titans are pinned to the bottom of the competition later with the Panthers.
Yeah, probably, you know, externally people probably thought the Titans were going to struggle this year, but internally I thought that we were going to go a lot better than what we are. And we've been... If the Titans don't win pretty, they don't win at all type of thing. Like, they don't want to get gritty, and the Dogs are one of those sides that, you know, Dean Pay said about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't care if we get penalised for wrestling, mate. We're going to wrestle and make it hard for other teams. And when they jumped out to a start and did a few trick shots and got ahead, I thought, oh, well, here we go. And then once the Dogs started slowing them down and getting even possession of the football, well, the Titans didn't want to get down and roll up their sleeves and go toe-to-toe with them. And the telling play for me was, I think we were chasing right at the end and Ash Taylor gets the ball. This is your playmaker. This is your marquee guy. And he gets tackled with the ball on the fifth and last. It was like a deer in headlights. Yeah. And that's the guy that's supposed to have all the confidence, kick. So kick, pass, do something. But he got caught with the football. So I think that's sort of telling him where we're at.
He's a real problem with the club, Gordon.
Why is that?
Because he's taken up so much salary cap. He hasn't delivered. He's one of those players who have been paid on potential.
Yes.
And he has not yet begun to pay back the club their investment in him.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I really like Ash and I think he's, you know, he had the potential. Mate, he could have been our Queensland half now. And
should have been your Queensland half. Yeah. He's 24.
He had it for 10 years and got the money and got all the accolades. Well, do you know what? I don't know whether he can turn.
Yeah. Why? What makes you say
that? Well,
because
it's hard work.
Yep.
It's really hard work.
So is that the issue for him at the moment? Because
when I look at him, right, I look at his body shape, and I don't go to training, right? So I'm talking just outsider looking in, like a helicopter, right? So Andrew Johns had a different shape body, but I played with him, and he was the hardest trainer.
Yep.
Right? He trained hard. He kicked, and he did so many extras. It wasn't funny. Right? He was there, the first bloke there, kicking and passing, and, mate, this is what I want you to do. Hey, look for this, look for that. And he was just always at you, bringing up. He'd play number 9 for Australia, and he'd be leading the line speed and say, boys, get behind me. These shoulders are going to carry us tonight, and all that kind of stuff. Would Ash ever do that? So I don't think he's fit enough. And when you've got to be in that position, you've got to make the right decisions at the right time, and fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And it's like, when he got the play, he was tired and he didn't have enough time and space in his own mind to come up with a play even.
He played fat all last season, right? He played 6 or 7 kilos overweight and they denied it all last season. And then when he came back this season and he stripped the weight off, everybody congratulated him about how much fitter he looks and how he'd lost the weight from last season, which, you know, basically you're admitting your own lie. But then second to that, while he has lost the weight and he looks in shape, he only looks in shape. He's not playing like he's in shape. And the Titans put a lot of money into him and basically counted on this being the season where he would really take flight, and he hasn't done that. And as I said, when you're putting $1 million of your salary into him, he's got to start delivering. He has not owned a game all season.
And there's no excuses. You know, you got AJ Brimson, who's a live wire, got a bit of X factor, right? You got Peachy, that's played Origin. He's got a bit of X factor. You got Kelly, that's got a bit. You know what I mean? You got Don, that's been, I think he's the highest try scorer ever at the Titans, and he's very consistent. But if you kick for him, mate, he competes in the air. And you got a forward pack now that's tough and gritty. They mightn't win the battle every week, their forwards, but they're going to go to the battle and have a crack.
They specifically went and bought Tyrone Roberts because of his previous good combination with Ash Taylor, and they were trying to find the key to giving Ash everything possible to get to that level, to that elite level. Gordy, the issue is he hasn't only got this season to go, he's got another 2 years beyond that on $1 million a season. That's a hell of a lot of his salary cap, as Kenty just pointed out. And the other issue, speaking to a few people around the Titans after the loss last night, and after leading 16-0, I don't think anybody's disputing that they should never have lost that game, being in that commanding position. But people within the joint were saying that the issue is there's actually not a lot of leadership at the moment. Tyrone Roberts was the captain yesterday. Yeah. Ryan James is out injured at the moment. Yeah. Shannon Boyd's another big-name recruit who has come to the club on big money, didn't play yesterday. So there's a lot of frustration.
What is a leader?
Just when someone like
described
you,
the same with Andrew Johns.
Someone like you, when you played, who when things weren't going your way, you wouldn't say anything. You would just do something.
Yeah. But that would, a leader is someone that people follow. Else.
They set a standard.
Yeah, mate, they set a standard, and a leader is, and they all come in all different shapes and sizes. But a leader is someone that people follow. And Ryan James is good, but Jai Arrow's doing that much work. You'd think that you'd feel guilty, and then Alan Langer made you feel guilty when you played with him because he was prepared as a little guy to go out there and do something and put his body on the line, and that's how he would embarrass you, and he'd just give you a look.
Yeah,
Elf didn't have the same. And
Ash Taylor's got that opportunity, Gordon.
Absolutely.
And he's not delivering.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a song, come back. One of the big, or probably the biggest story of the week, Jack DeBellin losing that court case, which would have meant he could at the very least play again in the foreseeable future. He lost that court case, so we'll ask Kenty and we'll ask Hoops about that too when we continue on Sunday Triple M NRL. Don't go away. Our game we're calling today at 4 o'clock is Manly Cronulla, and just looking at the ladder there, they're both on 10 points in fifth and sixth position, so this is going to be a really good quality game between these two old rivals. So I hope you can join Dan and the boys at that game, 4 o'clock this afternoon, live across the Triple M network. Right now, though, we're talking about Jack DeBellin, who lost the court case late in the week. That court case would have meant that, at the very least, he could get back on the field in the short term, while the real court case played out, which still, from what I'm hearing, Paul Kent, could be in the middle of next year.
Yeah, there's a it could be as far as 18 months away.
Wow.
So that's look. Let's just unpack this a little bit. The NRL rule is that they're allowed to stand him down until his legal matter's been sorted out in the courts. DeBellin challenged that, lost that challenge on Friday. Now out of it, the RLPA, the Players Association, their union has come out and said it we might challenge the rule themselves. I believe, look, it's going to be a difficult one. The NRL, they're going to challenge the rule on the grounds. The CBA basically says in the CBA, the players agreed to a CBA whereby they had the presumption of innocence, which was the old rule. And under that CBA agreement, the NRL changed it without the Players Association agreeing to it. So they'll challenge it on those grounds. Jack DeBellin's challenged on slightly different grounds. He challenged on the fact that whether the NRL was actually had the power to do that, and the court obviously found that the NRL does have that power. So it's sort of it's a different side of the same coin essentially that they're going to now challenge on. I always thought right all along that the way the RLPA is going now is probably a chance of winning. Mm. I think the whole thing's got a lot of hairs on it, Anthony. There's areas in that I agree with, there are areas I disagree with. I've got no doubt that the NRL has the right to protect its reputation. I think it's underestimated how much damage to the reputation of the game the summer did. I spoke to someone the other day inside NRL headquarters who told me that I asked them when the NRL during the court case with DeBellin submitted their 50-odd page document about the damage to the game, the financial damage to the game. I actually said, what is the figure? And there is no figure because of various, I suppose, different. There's no figure because there's some sponsors that did pull out. Some sponsors took out a penalty. Some sponsors were about to leave and didn't leave. And then there's obviously the reputational damage and all the rest of it. The NRL essentially thought it cost the game about $20 to $25 million.
That much.
I do know that Telstra, the major sponsor, was on the verge of walking away as naming rights sponsor and was at that point in negotiations with the NRL about only maintaining the digital rights. So they wanted to walk away as the Telstra Premiership but keep the digital rights, which they obviously make a quid out of. And only the fact that they stood down to DeBellin saved them that $25 million there. Now, there's a clause, and this is where it's going to be interesting for the players, because there's a clause in the CBA whereby if the NRL has an unforeseen hit in sponsorship and it goes down by more than 10%, then they can renegotiate the salary cap. Now, if Telstra had walked away on top of the money that did walk away, and many of the other sponsors who were prepared to walk away until the NRL stood down to DeBellin, at that point they then decided to remain with the NRL. If the NRL had lost all those sponsors because DeBellin just continued to play on, that would have enacted that clause. So next year, instead of a $9.6 million salary cap, we could have had a $7.8 million salary cap, and every player would have been forced to take a pay cut, which then would have tested the players' resolve as to how fiercely they wanted to chase this and whether if that gets outlaid to them. So there's a lot going on. It's a high-stakes game. And but having said that, I feel that we all talk about Brett Stewart as the test case when people say, look, they got that wrong. That's why there should be the presumption of innocence. Because when he was about to launch the season, charges got laid against him. The NRL stood him down for 4 weeks. And a lot of people say, look at the damage. And Brett Stewart came out only recently and said how long it took him to get over that. I think it would be fair to argue, though, that the toll it took on Brett Stewart was as much, well, not as much, was far more about the court case he had to endure and the allegation made against him rather than the 4 week suspension.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, Paul, with all the information that you know, right?
Right.
And okay, we can't go back on Brett Stewart because they made a mistake on.
I don't think they did make a mistake.
Okay, well, with the information they got, I thought it was probably fair. But Brett Stewart was really angry and Manly were really angry. But then he knew what happened. We didn't because we weren't there. So you can only judge on what you hear on that. And because you're not there, we probably shouldn't comment about it. But what you know about this case, would you have made the same decision as the NRL?
No. I think the Brett Stewart example is the right way to go, that the NRL makes no call on guilt or innocence, but acknowledges the fact that the game relies on its public reputation.
Can I ask how long ago Brett Stewart was?
How long ago?
Yes, yeah, 10 years?
I thought it was the year after they won the Premiership.
I thought it was 2009.
So 10 years ago, right? Yeah. So then you go now, and everything that's happened off the field, and everybody talks about it, and I get embarrassed because sometimes you walk the streets, they go, oh, leagues and all that kind of stuff, and my kids go to a rugby school and all that. But we're all pigeonholed, and I'm 45 and I haven't played for 15 years. But I'm still pigeonholed with the behaviour that's around. I don't get pigeonholed with Petro Sivanisiva and Christian Wolf, you know, taking a cerebral palsy kid to the game.
Mm.
You get pigeonholed with the worst part of it.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when I say me, I'm talking about like the game, all of us. Everybody in here.
The thing about a lot of people won't acknowledge is every sport relies on its public reputation, okay? Basically, whether you like it or not. So sponsors pay for a sponsorship whereby people who like rugby league will associate their product with rugby league.
Yep.
Okay? Now, if rugby league is basically crapping in its own nest, people may not then go and buy it Harvey Norman or Telstra.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of what that sponsorship is. That's why they pay. So you've got the sponsors do that. Then you've got the members who basically buy their membership because they love their club. They love their team. But if players in their club and team are essentially not behaving the way that they think is proper, then there's a chance they might walk away. The gate takings every week come from, again, public reputation. It all comes from public reputation. That is the game's priority protect that.
But, Paul, the silence has been deafening for me because I fly a lot. So 3 times this week I've been on a plane and, hey, mate, oh, how good was that game? How good this? All year I've been getting asked about the Broncos, the footy, this, that, Seabolt, Bennett, South, all those kind of things. We're in the past. Oh, mate, what about these guys, mate? What's going to happen to them, mate? Yeah. Oh, how do they let him play, mate? What sponsor? Like the Israel Folau situation, right? Every rugby guy that's sitting there would be asked about Israel Folau. Is that this year? I haven't been asked a question.
Let me just, guys, play you the audio before we wrap this up. The CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, Ian Prendergast, saying that they will most likely dispute this decision. Have a listen to this.
We also got concerns with the policy based on our view that it goes outside of what we've agreed under the collective bargaining agreement in terms of the process followed by the NRL and the effect to which it imposes essentially a penalty on a player. So we're considering issuing a dispute under the CBA at the moment.
Okay, in closing on this, they go back to the court again, then what happens?
Well, the court decides, Anthony.
You don't think it'll end up with Jack de Bellum back on the football field before the court case?
It could, yeah, if they win this case. Mm. Yeah, it depends how quickly they can get it into court and all the rest of it. But what I've learned over years, and I used to write up the front of the paper and write about court cases and all the rest of it, you can't predict what's going to happen in court. You can't predict time frames. You can't predict the decision that they'll eventually reach. All those things are very difficult. In many cases, it depends on how well you present your case, not the actual rights or wrongs of it. So, I don't know where that's going to end. I don't think anyone can tell you where it's going to end. We just have to wait and see. I think that Ian Prendergast's complaint yesterday was a valid complaint. I think it's a valid complaint, and I think that if they get to court, they might get some traction with it.
Okay, that's it. We'll keep you up to date on the Jack DeBellin situation, but let's get back to the footy field after this. We'll talk about the Rabbitohs, who are now the sole leader of the competition table with their win in Canberra last night over the Raiders. So they're out the front there on 18 points. So the boys want to talk about the Rabbitohs and the Raiders, so we'll take a break and we'll come back and do that as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. For Ream Hot Water.
Get your boots out!
Triple M Footy.
What a show. We've got two Sunday Triple M NRL. Both Origin coaches are absolutely dying to come on. They're dying to come on. So we said, well, let us think about it. And then we said, yeah, we love you guys. You can come on. Freddie Fittler's coming on. Kevvy Walters is coming on today too. We'll talk more about the Panthers. They are now six in the hole straight. We'll talk about that as well. Cowboys getting a good win over Parramatta last night. We're going to talk about the Rabbitohs game. Just before we do, Hoops, I might just want to consult you on this, and don't immediately take the opposite side to me. You might remember about a month ago where I got carved up about stealing someone's Easter eggs off their desk, which I didn't actually do. I called for the video replay. I called for the cameras, and then nobody could produce it on the cameras. But I wore it.
I'm pretty sure we had a lady who works at Triple M ring up and confirm that she had seen you stealing her Easter eggs.
No, she confirmed that someone had stolen the Easter eggs.
You know you did, so I don't know why you're trying to spin your way out of this. Okay. But anyway, go on. Where are we going with this?
Well, what I'm going to say to you is that when Paul Kent and Gordon Tallis got here, Paul decided that his device needed to be charged up, and Gordon went rifling through everyone's desk till he found the appropriate charger.
No, I didn't. It's just an iPhone charger.
iPhone charger, though, is it? So why don't you cop the same scrutiny when just right in front of my eyes...
When it's got Jamie Angel's name on it,
Presley's name on it, mate. You don't go to people's desk.
Oh, so you don't care about Jamie Angel?
I don't care about anyone but myself.
Mate, I'll say this, Anthony.
That's the truth.
You know, the one good thing, Gordon, is that at least at the moment, Anthony's actually taking up his grievances with us in person,
because
there's been some other examples over the weekend, right, where Anthony has chosen to white ant, undermine and make up blatant lies about members of the Triple M team, and they haven't been around to defend themselves, Gordon.
Triple M underscore NRL. Bazzer at Pendle Hill wants to know, where's Wendell today? Well, Wendell did the Bankstown RSLOB this morning, the outside broadcast. He can't do two things in one day. You know that Dell's got the deal where he works if he wants to. There's a few of them here like that. Hoops is another one. James Hooper. Boss rings him in the morning. Do you want to work today? Oh, I might take the kids to the park today. I've got to get a deal like that, Pete.
After all this time, it might have passed you, Maroon.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd be grabbing everything I could if I was you.
I think I should be just glad they asked me to come in. Well, you know, I mean, I did, you know, this is, did you hear that yourself or somebody's put me in?
Somebody pointed it out to me that you were white-handing.
Anthony, you got no friends, right? I get a text last night at 7:48. Hello, Gordon, just wondering if you'll be at the airport tomorrow. Thanks, have a good evening. I said, Anthony, I don't want to put you out, right, because every week you out me for getting a lift. I said, mate, I don't want to put you out because I know the price of petrol, right? mate, but listen, if you're at the front, fine. Yes, Gordon, I'm looking forward to seeing you and your colleagues tomorrow. Have a pleasant evening and give my regards to your wife.
Well, I can't. That's beautiful, wife, isn't it? That's beautiful.
So, and then I get to the airport and there's no Anthony. And he goes, mate, catch a cab, you tight ass.
He's a liar.
Geez, you're good. But anyway, mate, that's just you. And you know what? You got no friends, and we know that.
No one knows the black soul you've really got, Maroon. That really is. Like, you come across as all nice and bubbly.
You
sit there with your tuna, filthy tins there. Yeah. And,
they're going. They won't be here. Those tins of tuna will be the minute that you blink.
The way you blokes go and pilfer off people's desks out there, I wouldn't be surprised.
Why don't you tell everyone what a good sort you've been acting in the last few weeks because we pinch your lunch?
Yeah, well, you do. You steal my lunch. I come, I buy my lunch, bring it in here so it's a nice, healthy lunch, and when my back's turned, you steal
it. You complain of workplace bullying. That's not
bullying. That is workplace
bullying. That's just good schoolyard fun.
You are bullying by opening it up and making us smell it.
Mate, you went out there and stole something off someone's desk.
I didn't steal it. I borrowed it.
He did not steal
it. And I borrowed it for the team because our devices are going down and we need them for NRL stats and getting scores.
You can white ant and make up all the blatant lies you want about me, but when you're talking about Gordon Tallis or Wendell Saylor, mate, they're legends of the game.
Yeah.
So you, please, don't go going down that road.
It's not fair,
especially when they're not here to defend themselves.
I have to say, I expect this behaviour from Paul Kent or Gordon Tallis, but Hoops, I thought you were a bit better than that, mate.
What about what you did to me yesterday?
No, mate, you blokes. Anyway, moving along, we'll come back to that. I'm not done yet. Rabbitohs are now competition leaders outright on their own after beating the Raiders 16-12 in the capital city of the nation. The Rabbitohs, I must say, Hoops, they've lost one game by 1 point in season 2019. That is an outstanding record after 10 rounds.
It was one of the best games of the season, I thought, last night, Gordy. I just loved the intensity of it. Even though there were only penalty goals at halftime, just the ferocity of the contest. Sammy Burgess was a little bit unhinged in the opening half. Saw him give away, I think it was 4 penalties. Mm. And obviously Wayne Bennett had some stern words for him at halftime and they turned it around. But you must be happy, Anthony, because the Bunnies, they just keep finding ways to win. I don't think they're anywhere near playing their best football or peaking yet. But the continued development of the combination of Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds and Damien Cook, and then that forward pack, it's a hell of a footy team.
Yeah, it was my favourite game of the year so far. I was sitting on the edge of my seat towards the end. It was really high quality. I think they completed over 80. There was low missed tackles. Both teams kicked for over 600 metres. So metres were hard to get. One thing I found out last night, Sam Burgess goes over the top when he plays against Englishmen. Like, I've watched him play against James Graham and I thought, because when they're good mates, you always want to get the one up. But against those English guys last night, I think he gave away 4 penalties early. I saw Wayne Bennett really animated at halftime and I reckon that was Sam. Come on, mate. You know this. You've got to put your ego in your pocket sometimes. But I loved it. Mate, sitting at home in the theatre of it was like brilliant. And the Raiders, they're a bit unlucky, you know. Croker getting the ball stolen at halftime. Big Papa when he goes. The only thing that stopped me was the...
What a run. Mate,
that was a big goalpost pad. But it was a high-quality game of footy. And the Raiders show that they're in this fight. Mate, the Raiders were really good and unlucky not to win. Cody Walker was brilliant. Like, he's got to be putting his hand up higher and higher for New South Wales selection. But, mate, it was a great game of footy.
I think the Raiders come away from that game last night saying to themselves, you know what, we didn't get the 2 points, but we showed ourselves we can win the comp.
Yeah.
I think... I've had doubts about the Raiders for much of the season. Just defensively, while they've improved a hell of a lot, I'm not saying a soft start to the season, but they played a lot of the bottom 8 teams to start the season, so I was yet to be convinced is probably the word. But last night, the way they got through the game and the way they competed with the Rabbitohs showed me that with continued improvement, which I'm sure that they are capable of and they're in the process of doing, that they are in a really good spot. They defended well last night. It also showed last night, too, that you don't need all these tries to have a great game of footy. When the intensity's in it and teams are basically having a crack at each other, the 6-4 halftime scoreline, even though it was all penalty goals, nobody sat down and thought, well, that was pretty ordinary half because there's no tries in it. There was opportunities, and that's the big thing in the game. There was opportunities. There was great defence that stopped those opportunities.
Yeah.
And there was two teams that really were at the level, and Ricky Stewart was asked at halftime last night, they said to him, I think it was Hannah Hollis, said, a couple of your guys have really taken it personal in the first half. And he said, well, that's how it should be. It should be personal
to them.
And that's what the game had, that intensity where it meant something to them. And the Raiders were out to prove that they could topple the big sides. Souths were out to prove that they are the big dogs in the competition.
And they both proved both. I mean, I thought that the Raiders, if they get it right at the end of the year and their forward pack can get better, Denamis, Louis, like some of the shots he was pulling off. Papali's been, I think, their most consistent forward. But they've got players to come back. I don't know whether Leilua will come back. I think I had the same sort of surgery, and I know that they're all different. It's about 12 weeks. You know what I mean? Rapana didn't play.
Mm.
Man, they were good. And that try, right, when they pushed up, all the set players in the world weren't going to work last night. and they just pushed up for each other. It was just a great team try where he just went through a hole inside, inside, then Williams ended up going.
Sammy Williams, yeah.
That was my favourite try of the year because it was three blokes that backed their teammates' ability and didn't, and that's not on Ricky Stewart's game plan sheet. That was just, mate, my teammates going forward, I'm going to push up just in case. And the great players go just in case they're needed, not because they're needed. And they turned up just in case. The ball popped out and it didn't. I better push up here just in case if he gets his arms free again. And he did.
It was effort and instinct. And you make a great point, Gordon, about the Raiders' right edge. So no BJ Leilua, no Jordan Rapana, and John Bateman. I think he's actually gone back to England for a little while just to catch up with some of his family and he'll be back in Australia soon. But... you know, you consider how damaging that right edge has been for them over the opening rounds of the competition. The fact they didn't have them last night, they were still able to put together a really strong performance. Good signs for the Green Machine.
I will say, too, I think there's... you talked about those penalties with Sam Burgess. I think last night there was a real need for sin bins.
Sin bin. Yeah. I made Brisbane 2 on Friday night.
Yeah. It's ridiculous now that...
Do you reckon the referees... Let me ask you this, Kenny. Do you reckon the referees in that instance... are a little bit intimidated by the big personalities.
None of the personalities.
If it was Cameron Smith, right, or if it's Sam Burgess, I think if that's any other player and they give away that many penalties, and I love Sam Burgess, he's one of my favourite players.
I get that. I don't know if it's a Sam Burgess particularly or the fact. I think they're intimidated by the game situation where a team is defending its try line. They don't want to put a bloke in the bin. But it is a clear strategy for teams that when they're under any pressure in their own 20-metre zone to give away the penalty. And I spoke to James Graham once about it, and we're talking about it, and he pointed out an interesting thing. He said, look, he said, if you're attacking their try line, the pressure's on the defence. And he said, they'll concede a penalty to keep getting set. As soon as they start to begin being breached, they'll concede a penalty so they can therefore reset their line and go again. And then what happens is makes no real difference. If you're two tackles into your set, you're not given an extra six tackles. You're only given really an extra two. So it goes from two, then it resets again to six. A tackle later resets again. But what happens over that period, if you keep getting, as the attacking team, penalties coming your way, the pressure shifts from the defence, who's under pressure, to the attack. As in, why haven't we scored yet? And therefore, they begin to push the passes. And so teams basically have this understanding that if they continue to concede penalties, eventually the defence, as long as they remain set, eventually the attack will push a pass to try and cause something to happen, at which point they'll get a mistake, they'll get the ball, and the risk will be worth it. The NRL has got to acknowledge this. And it's got to say, we don't want teams, when they suddenly get in the opposition 20, bogged down with penalty after penalty after penalty. So we're going to put someone in the bin, which will end it immediately.
Yeah. All right, boys.
Sorry, mate, but when is a professional foul? A professional foul. We saw Cooper Cronk grab the arm, right?
Yeah.
So that's stopping him to do it. Yep. But holding a guy down, I think a bloke made a break, holding him down and giving away a penalty is exactly the same.
Yes.
In my eyes,
yep.
They are. The buzzword now, denying them the opportunity to score a try. Well, that's actually denying them. So the referees need to get a...
Do they need to show some Billy Harrigan intestinal fortitude?
Or bigger kahunas.
Boys, let me talk to you about this now. Much has obviously been said about the Penrith 6 and 7 and whether or not they should be picked for Origin. On the back of that Rabbitohs win, Wayne Bennett at the press conference had this to say on the subject.
I'll say what no one else wants to say. They cannot pick the two halfbacks from 5-8 from last year. I coached Origin, I coached 7 series of it, so I kind of know how it works. And I know this much, that Cody playing so well, Reynolds playing great, a couple of other players in other clubs are playing some great football, and last year's pair, who were in great form last year, are nowhere near that. Way off it. The positions that they play, if you think they can go in an Origin game in that type of form and be stars, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so the position they're in, the mindset they're in at the moment, Hoops, Gordy, maybe you want this one. Anyway, if they are both available, Maloney and Cleary, do you pick them for Origin?
Wayne didn't get the memo. We don't. Yes, you do.
No, you don't. Look,
yeah, absolutely.
What do you mean Wayne didn't get the memo?
Because he's you don't pick Queensland's don't help New South Wales. That's the memo. That's why Gordon useless to even ask about this.
I was wondering why you were shaking your head and the eyes were starting to roll around.
Just be quiet.
I can see the steam coming out of the top of your head.
I'll tell you something. It is a hard role to pick New South Wales this year because of that. But there's so many players that are actually standing up. And it's a good headache.
It is.
But it's going to be hard for Freddie to whether he does
can't do
pick
it good.
Cleary because
he can't.
Oh, mate, because that was a 3-year promise.
No, speaking of Freddie, we're going to have him on the show coming up very
good
shortly.
Hook.
So we'll
good
get
hook,
to
Hoops.
We'll get to ask Brad Fittler exactly how he's seeing things at the moment. But
Hoops is auditioning for Maroons, Rob.
I'm with you, Kenny. After what you've done to Gordon, Wendell and everybody else, stabbing them in the back the way you do.
Mate, listen, there's one at every station and there's already one big one here and he's the big papa over there.
Mate,
look at him.
Honestly, if you try...
I love the way you talk, Robbo, too.
If you take me on Hoops, you will be back on community radio...
I've never done community radio, Anthony, but I know you've spent years on it. But the way you have white-handed some other big names in the media out of this place, and we all know who we're talking about, you just need to be very careful.
All right.
James Graham was on 360 this week, and we talked about the pick and stick against form and all the rest of it. And he said, you can do it. Queensland are famous for pick and stick. But if you look at the Queenslanders all over the years, the guys that pick and stick and get picked out of form, come and play great for Queensland, are all generally forwards. And he said, you can do it with forwards because it's an effort position. And when you're around other good players who are all in form, you pick up your effort and suddenly you're back again. And Bennett said this last night. Graham said it earlier in the week. You can't do it with halves. Halves need to be confident and playing well. You can't effort your way to a performance as a half. You have to think your way through the game. It's a different skill set required to get through the game. So to try and pick someone like Maloney and Cleary, who at the moment can't crack an egg. The Penrith defence is awful at the moment. And it's a stat that continually gets trotted around about how they get in the opposition. They have more tackles in the opposition 20 than any other team. Why? Because they can't get over the try line. Other teams have scored the try and gone back for kickoff. The Penrith are still trying to find their way through. Mm. How can you pick that in Origin?
What Wayne said last night, I thought was 1,000% spot on. And Gordon, I know as a Queensland legend, you don't like him being a staunch Queenslander that he is, having a voice about the Blues. But I thought he was bang on the money. And if you go back to Friday night, that sixth loss in a row for the Panthers, James Maloney actually had a red hot crack. Like he was trying really, really hard to create something to make something happen. Young Nathan is just having a flat patch at the moment.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of players go through it over the years. He's having a flat patch. And on with you, Kenny. I think it would be unfair to push him into Origin and expect him to be able to somehow spark and deliver something with all that pressure on him.
Okay, boys. You spoke about Penrith. Let's open them up and have a look at them after the break. They've lost 6 games in a row. At least they're consistent. Their last 3 games, they've lost by 30 on each occasion. They are going nowhere fast, the Panthers. We expected so much from them. Let's take a break, come back and take a look at the team from the foot of the mountains as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. For McDonald's, Triple M Footy.
Sunday NRL right across the Triple M network. And last night, the Rabbitohs beat the Raiders 16-12. The Cowboys beat Parramatta 17-10. And the game we did the afternoon, the Bulldogs got a very, very well-deserved win over the Gold Coast Titans, 22-16. They came from 16 down to win that game. And that's all thanks to Tyre Power. Buy 4 or more selected Michelin tyres. Receive a gift card up to $100. We were going to talk Penrith here, but we said no, bugger it, because we could get a chance to speak to Jack Cogger from the Bulldogs, and he's on the line now. Jack, welcome to Sunday NRL.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, mate. 16 down and you came back.
Yeah, it was not the start we would have liked. That's 3 weeks in a row now. We've let the opposition get to a bit of a lead, but... lucky enough we caught them back and got over the line in the end.
Talk us through that final try, Jack. It was a big play.
Yeah, mate. Obviously, the play was caught, and we'd done it a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. And caught him a bit off. I held the ball, and I was lucky enough to dart through and got over the line and off the nudie run as well, which I was very happy about that.
Jack, when you guys were coming back into the game, could you feel the Titans weaken? Was there a shift in the way they were playing or defending, or did they manage to maintain their form? They seemed like they once you guys came back, they couldn't really deal with you.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think if you look at the first 20 minutes, we I think we were 1 from 3 and they were 9 from 9. So just the weight of possession for them, they're obviously, are going to score some points, and that's what they did. And when the possession turned into our favour, we were, our attack was working. And, you know, when you've got the ball and an even share of possession, your defence normally, you've got more energy to defend, and we were able to hold them out for the rest of the game.
Mate, talking about that, Kieran Foran was nearly back to his best yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. He was really good. He had a couple of try assists there, taking the line on. He was good for us last week. Just having him in the team last week just builds the confidence for the players around him, including myself. And, performance like that yesterday after coming off a pretty serious injury, I think he'll be better for the run again next week.
What does he bring? Like, when he comes out, just take us through, if you can, Jack, some of the things he brings to you guys when he's on the field. I imagine with so many young playmakers in the club, it must be nice to be able to just listen to what he says and wants the team to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's fairly calm, which really helps me. I think, Kieran does what Kieran does well, and he sticks to that. He doesn't try and overplay his hand as well. And he lets me do what I'm good at. So that's why I think it's worked well for us in the last couple of weeks, because he's not trying to do my job. I'm not trying to do his. And, I think it just fills you with a bit of confidence that you've got someone of his, calibre that, backing you to come up with the right play at the right time.
How different are things at the club now that everything seems to have settled down with the pay extension? There was a lot of talk about how it was just creating uncertainty at the beginning of the season, and almost immediately once that was announced, the team began to show a little bit of form and looked just far more settled.
Yeah, you're right. We, if you look at the last couple of weeks, we've been in all the games, bar one, I think. There's been 6, maybe 8 points in all the games we've played, and we're putting ourselves in it, but we just couldn't get over the line. I think that comes from, everyone being fairly settled, but we just needed to get over the line no matter how it was. It was a bit scrappy yesterday, but we needed the 2 points, and that's what we came away with.
Great test next Sunday, Jack. You're back at Belmore, one of the great suburban venues, and you're up against the Melbourne Storm. You nearly knocked them off at Amy Park earlier in the year. Can you get them this time around?
Yeah, it was disappointing. That was actually my first game for the club in NRL, and I thought it was going to be a really good start, but unfortunately they came back, as Melbourne always do, and just got us by 2 points. So I'm hoping this weekend, back at Belmore, we obviously train there, and it's going to be a pretty special day. It's our only game there this year, and I think if we build again from yesterday, we'll give ourselves a fair shot.
Yeah, well, mate, there's not much difference between them and the Titans, so it should be a good outing there at Belmore. Thanks for coming on today, mate, and congratulations to you and Dean Pay and all the boys, and we'll catch you next time, and look forward to having a home game at Belmore.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Thanks for having us on.
There he is, Jack Cogger, joining us now. While we're on this topic, boys, let's just stay with it. Gold Coast Titans and Dogs yesterday. Some of Brent Reed's mail. Read his mail yesterday on Saturday NRL. I'd like to play this for you now in relation to the Titans coach, Garth Brennan.
I understand there's a board meeting this week. Now, it's not specifically about Garth Brennan, but if they're 2-8 and heading into next week 2-8 and underperforming like they are, I'd find it very, very hard to see Garth Brennan as their coach next year. One person put it to me that he'd be a dead man walking if they lost this week.
Dead man walking. That's Gordon, you're involved with
RTS.
The Titans. Yeah.
That's not Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. That's return to sender.
Right.
They're a very loyal family, the Kellys and the Frizzells. And, they're struggling at the moment. But if I was looking, I'd be looking at the players.
Mm.
If I think his strengths, his weakness, being a new coach, Garth, maybe he's a little bit loyal to some of the players,
Yeah, well, that's not going to last long, though.
No. Seriously. So, mate, I think he's just got to make a decision on that and just get guys in there that, as you said, want to put in the effort. Just roll out the Raiders and say, look at these guys that are having to go. Look at that red-headed guy that took on Sam Burgess.
Corey Horsburgh.
Horsburgh. Who is prepared to do that?
Red-headed guy. Love
it. How good is it?
We're just calling that red-headed guy.
You know what's interesting? You know what is interesting, Gordy? When the Gold Coast went and signed Mal Meninga.
Well, everybody's thinking he's the red-headed guy.
if I said Hawthorn, they wouldn't know. But you go, listen, the red-headed guy, because of the green and the red, it looked like he wanted to play for South. Look, wouldn't it, Matt?
What if he got another freckle, he'd have to put it in his pocket.
when the Gold Coast...
He calls himself a strawberry blonde.
When the Gold Coast went and signed Mal Meninga, Garth Brennan actually had a clause in his contract at that time that said he had to make the finals this season in order to trigger his deal for 2020 as well. But the owners of the club decided to remove that. So that's no longer there.
That was dumb.
So Garth is now signed until the end of 2020. But I'm with you, Gordy. Absolutely, I think the players need to take the lion's share of accountability here. But after a 2-8 start, there's no doubt there is going to be pressure on Garth if the losses keep mounting.
I think the whole joint needs a rocket.
The whole
joint. I think Garth needs one. I think the players need one. I think it's nice. I know, Gordon, what you're talking about when you say how loyal the owners are, Kelly and
Frizzell.
Yeah,
mate, but they're not stupid either. You know, well, what I'm saying is they're loyal people. I'm not saying that they won't make decisions, but they're just loyal people.
To sit there and understand that rugby league is a business, and Gold Coast is a team, that an area that has notoriously struggled. There has never been, other than when Cartwright got him into the finals a couple of times in his first couple of years of this new club. John Cartwright. There's really never been a finals contender. They've never, ever, in go back to the 90s, been a premiership heavyweight. They need to get fair dinkum about winning football.
They had a couple of seasons when Scotty Prince was the halfback, John Cartwright was the coach, and
they were a premiership
side. You're right. But even going back that far, it's been a long time in between.
But seriously,
drinks.
Gordon, what's Mal doing there? Explain to me how the Mal situation is his job?
From what I understand, Mal's there for culture, I think, and just the experience.
Well, the culture's poor at the moment.
The effort
looks poor.
Look, Mal Meninga's a winner, and it's fair to say that he's only just got there. So, mate, he'll turn it around.
Is he having enough time? Has he spent enough time with them?
Well, I don't know.
I think he's moved to the Gold Coast, Kenty, and he's based in the Gold Coast now. Yeah. My understanding is he's going to be working a lot closer with the players as a result of this start now. But I think my information is that, yes, he has been hands on there.
I haven't seen a significant shift in anything.
He's not in there having a crack.
That's true. He might be in there having a crack. That just shows that the crack has been ineffective so far. I'm just, what are we seeing out of the Gold Coast that gives you any indication of what they're actually trying to do up there?
Not much.
Gordy's in there having a crack. He's had a crack at a Range Rover. He's had a crack at a Discovery Sport. He's had a crack at a Jag. Yeah.
Mate, don't you start, because I noticed when you were giving
us... Always bring it back to yourself, trying to get something for free.
But I've been driving cars for the Frizzells, and everybody thinks that's the only reason I'm on the Titans. They gave me a car when I was working at South. They gave me a car when I was working at the Broncos. They gave me a car when I was working at the Cowboys. So I was working at three other clubs. When they were
so Gordon's
cars.
Always
so
just had cars, you know, Anthony.
I'm just having
okay,
a look.
So there's no issue there. Yeah. But it's typical.
I noticed
when you were wide-ending and taking cheap shots at us yesterday that you managed to get a plug-in for Bankstown RSL.
No. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We will finally get to talk about the Panthers. They've now lost six straight with Kenty, with Triceps, and with Gordy Tallis as Triple M rocks the footy.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy.